Hey there, it's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Comedy Podcast. Tune in to our show and join me in making some regrettable decisions. It's available wherever you listen to podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Welcome back. Welcome back here to the Mark Cox Morning Show. Here I am trying to play some audio for you right off the top, but the best laid plans get screwed up when you don't have the audio button turned on. So that was my fault. Not Ethan's. Welcome in. Kim St. Ange, Ethan Bryden here with me. Sue Thomas with your traffic as we cover everything this morning, including curfews at the Six Flags. Is this right, Kim?
Curfews, yeah. So I guess that they had this. Well, it's not really a curfew. It's that you have to have a chaperone.
It's a chaperone.
It's a chaperone policy. So if you're 15 or younger, you have to have a chaperone. And they're saying if they catch you, and you're wondering, even if you have the adult with you, but they're not actually with you in the park, you'll get kicked out.
Somewhere in the park. So if you get caught and they say, well, my mom's over there having a cold one, then you have to go find mom.
And connect with her, yes.
Okay. All right.
Maybe they're having issues. I know they're just saying, well, this will provide consistency. But usually that's code word for we've had issues and this is our solution.
Well, I mean, they've done similar things at local shopping malls, haven't they? Where they require you to be above a certain age, or
Galleria, was that one
was
of them
I think
did
the
that?
Galleria had that for
I
a
mean,
little while.
Heck, we technically have a curfew in downtown St. Louis. Now, does
this
anybody actually abide by it?
Well,
no.
That's because things have gotten a little out of control.
No, but, Mark, don't say that.
Just a little out of control. I know somebody that works security out there. I'll have to inquire about that and see what the specific problem was. But my guess is it's parents getting a little daycare action over the summer by taking the kids to Six Flags and just dropping them off if they're 12, 13, 14 years old and they run around with no supervision over there.
Three $20 beers later and the parents connect back with their kids and time to go home.
Yeah, that's about the size of it. It's like going to the ballpark, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Coming up, we'll get to our friend Todd Pyro, Fox and Friends first, get his thoughts on what's happened here with the Epstein list. And Alan Dershowitz out this morning saying that there is not really a list. It was probably a little premature for me to call it a list. So he's kind of got his own explanation. We'll pick Todd's brain on that coming up. We've also got 2A Tuesday here at the bottom of the hour. We're going to talk about the new changes from the big, beautiful bill when it comes to your ability to buy a suppressor for your firearm. So I've got that for you as well. But right now, I want to get to this morning's shortlist.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Part of this is a backlash to how badly Biden handled the immigration situation. It can't just be like come one, come all, which
Dude,
it was.
There's plenty of room here, and we need
room.
There's plenty of room in America. Come on.
Yeah, this is a guy named John Leguizamo. He's an actor from Hollywood, a comedian. He's on with Bill Maher, and man alive, Bill Maher set him straight on that. He goes, it's not a matter of if we have enough room. If you drive through Kansas, you know we have enough room. It's a matter of fact that you don't have a country if you don't have a border.
I can't decide who disgusts me more, Emile Gove, Donald Trump, or Chuck Grassley.
Oh, Claire McCaskill is building herself a little bit of an enemies list there, a little disgusting enemies list, because they can't stand all the winning, so they got to find something to complain about.
Apparently, there were Republicans suggesting that somehow President Biden didn't make the decisions, didn't sign off on all the different pardons that happened at the end of his administration. I think squabbling over whether he personally signed every single one or knowingly approved every single one isn't particularly constructive. He clearly made those decisions.
No, he clearly didn't, Senator Coons. What he admitted yesterday is that he didn't look at each individual pardon. He kind of gave a blanket approval and let his chief of staff make the decisions, which is not how the system works.
The Otto Pen, I think, is maybe one of the biggest scandals that we've had in 50 to 100 years. I guarantee he knew nothing about what he was signing. I guarantee it.
Yeah, I think President Trump is exactly right on that. And this thing is getting some legs. I think there are now going to be, there have been a couple of, I think I heard yesterday there was a resignation among the people who've been representing Joe Biden. And you're going to get people coming forward more and more here now admitting that, well, somebody else, like the chief of staff or someone was making these decisions. And then it gets back to the question we pondered yesterday, Kim. Can any of them be reversed if we find out that it wasn't the president issued a pardon to someone and had no idea who he was issuing a pardon to?
Right. I know Peter Ducey yesterday from Fox was saying that the pardon for his son, Hunter, seemed like it was actually his signature. But it has come out that, for example, Anthony Fauci's pardon was signed using the auto pen. So that would be one, and that's a big one.
Big.
It could that be reversed?
Bigly.
Big, huge. It's going to be massive.
Maybe
it'll, massive
maybe, maybe that one would be reversed just in time, just before Anthony Fauci comes here for his 50 or 100,000-hour speaking fee to Maryville University.
When is that again?
This fall. Yeah.
Did you get your tickets yet?
Well, I didn't, only because I spent all my money on Mammoth and David Lee Roth tickets. And I couldn't bring myself to pay, because you can't just go to the speaker series over there at Maryville where they bring all these lefties in. You can't go over there for one speaker. You have to pay for the whole series of speakers, which is like $200 or $300. And that's my concert money for the year.
Well,
so
he's
no,
their keynote. That. Isn't that funny? Anthony Fauci is their keynote. And they know that, that there's enough interest in people seeing him alone that they're willing to pay that, you said, $200, $300?
Yeah, nobody's...
Even if they go to no other speaking engagements or whatever, as long as they go to him, they'll fork over that money.
Nobody's going to question him while he's there. He'll just all be patted on the back. You know, I mentioned this a little bit earlier, but you know who scares me to death? What year was it? Let me go back. 2007, 2005, maybe 2006. I get sent over to Belleville as a reporter for Channel 4, and they're like, "Hey, the new senator for the state of Illinois is going to be doing a swing through Belleville, and he's got some media availability. We're going to send you over there to do an interview with him, see what his plans are." It was Barack Obama, and I came out of that interview. Where I ask him, you know, this and that and a few other questions, and I call my buddy up and I'm like, all right, this guy's scary. He's scary good because in one-on-one particularly, he convinced you that he's the smartest guy in the world. And of course, the rest is history. I kind of get those same vibes from Gavin Newsom.
Yeah, I was just going to say
he's
Gavin
Newsom.
He's a
Schlickmeister.
Yes, he is.
Is what he is. So they ask him yesterday during this podcast about how restrictive his state became during COVID, and if there were any regrets about how they cracked down. And I mean, he went into this long diatribe of, we didn't know what we didn't know. We didn't really know what we had our hands on. Many, in many cases, we were taking our cue from Donald J. Trump, who was president of the United States, who made these vaccines available. I mean, he had a perfectly crafted answer to this question, and I think this guy is going to be a problem in 2028 when Donald Trump will not be on the ballot, and any Democrat looking to run for president is going to have to go through this guy. Listen.
And it'll be the only state that I know of that is putting out a truly objective review of what went right and what went wrong. And I know everyone's a damn genius now in hindsight, but at the time, none of us knew what we were up against, including the president of the United States, who I worked very closely with. There wasn't a Democratic governor in America that worked closer during the pandemic than I did with Donald Trump.
I mean, I've been critical of the way Trump handled COVID, and he's tried to say kind of what Newsom did, which is, we didn't know, and you know,
right,
we did
right.
the best we could at the time. I think Trump could have handled it way better, but I have empathy for him with what he was up against. Newsom is scary because he has come out somewhat recently, like in an interview with Charlie Kirk. Remember, he was speaking out against trans women playing in, with men and or whatever, playing with women in their sports. It's like he tries to be more centrist, but then he says something so stupid and outlandish and right back to the far left. And I don't get his strategy here, I think he's absolutely going
to
run.
He plays differently to the national media than he does to the California media. He's very slick with that. Very, very slick with that. All right, quick break here. We come back. We'll talk about, we're going to talk with our friend Todd Pyro, of course, about this Dershowitz statement on the Epstein list and whether there is one or not. But right now, let's get to it, Ethan, please. We got some tickets to give away, don't we? It's Little Big Town coming to town here on July 25th. We're going to give away a pair of tickets every day this week. You can, you and a friend or a loved one can go to Hollywood Casino Amphitheater and see Little Big Town. We'll take caller number 5 at 314-241-9797. 314-241-9797. You have a chance to wear a pair to win a pair of tickets. Not to wear. You can win a pair of tickets. A Little Big Town. 314-241-9797.
Hey, it's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Comedy Podcast. We've been described as unscripted, unqualified, and unapologetic. And that came from my mother. See if you agree. The Commercial Break is available Tuesday through Friday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Been back.
No, there is no client list. There never has been a client list. A client list suggests that Jeffrey Epstein made a list of people to whom he trafficked women. What there is a redacted FBI affidavit from accusers, and there are several of them, from accusers that accuse Jeffrey, that accuse various people of having improper sex.
All right, it is 7:22 on a Tuesday morning, and that means one thing. It is time to catch up with our friend, Mr. Todd Pyro from Fox and Friends First.
Now hold up. Hold up. I called in a little early today, and from what I'm told by my people, my sources, you guys were having a contest. And I don't mean to be the – I think I may have won that contest.
I think you were like maybe the second caller.
Yeah, I think
I was really confused. So this is my first time taking on this – like handling the contest. And so, of course, the phones are ringing off the hook, and I'm just like, you're the first caller. Please call again. You're
and
the second caller. And Todd,
It's Todd.
Like, Todd, call back.
No. I mean, because let me tell you something. I wear that Mark Cox Morning Show long sleeve shirt that you sent me.
Uh-huh.
And I get more questions about that darn shirt. And I'm always like, oh, it's radio in St. Louis. And people look at me like, you fly to St. Louis to do radio every week? Yes. Yes, I do.
Yeah. Indeed. Well, we appreciate you too, Todd, because that's I know it's a big drain on the resources. So up there at Fox, we appreciate it.
What do you mean it's a big drain on the resources?
The plane fee to fly in here and do this.
Todd uses his own money. It's his own private jet, right? You have your own private jet, right, Todd?
I can't tell you how many times I will start a joke and then somebody else will continue the joke and I will not be in on said joke.
Oh, like, sorry. That's all right.
The other day we were talking about something on air and we get done with the show and Mark's like, oh, this is funny. Like he had a punchline for something we talked about three hours.
I'd
and
said
I'm like,
that.
We should break into the programming and say, I'm sorry to interrupt your programming, but Mark has a really good joke that he thought of that was something about like 2 hours ago and he wanted to make sure you heard it.
You know what you should do? I use this trick whenever I fill in on Fox Radio. I use the breaking news stinger, as they call it.
Yes.
Completely inappropriate times.
Like, uh-huh.
We interrupt this for a Fox News alert, and a lot of times I'll do this show like at home, and so I'll be like, my wife just brought in lunch.
Nice. You can do that from your house?
I have a Comrex.
Oh, yeah, nice. And we used one of those during COVID when we had to be out of studio briefly for about a month and a half, I guess. Not quite 2 months.
So what they did is, you know, obviously we did the exact same thing.
Yeah.
So they had all these Comrexes lying around and they're like, hey, we want you to do more radio. I said, here's the problem. A lot of these radio shows end at like Jimmy's show ends at 3. Guy Benson's ends at 5. If they tape early, could end at 6. I can't do that. Like, that doesn't work with my life because, you know, I get up in the middle of the friggin' night.
Right.
So they're like,
take your Comrex. I mean, it's not like I'm doing it every week, and it you know, you don't lose that much the one day every, you know, 4 months that I do it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I know you heard me play that Dershowitz bite off the top there. I'm sure you guys are probably dealing with that this morning, or you've heard Alan Dershowitz. What's your take on the way he's talking about this this Epstein client list? He basically says, well, there's not a list, but there are people that victims claimed abused them, and it's in the hands of a couple of prosecutors in New York City.
This is the most third rail story right now, because I feel like no matter which way you go, people are losing careers over it. And, you know, I just take a step back and say, look, I have two daughters. Everything in my life revolves around them. And I view everything through the lens of a father. So I want the truth. I don't care how it comes out.
Yeah.
And I don't care about the back and forth. Typically, you know, the back and forth is what makes our business. Like we make money on dissecting the back and forth. I'm past it on this one. Like either there are answers out there or they're not. And I think that there are. Just somehow get us the answers. Like let's end this. And if there aren't, you know, we need to do a better job of detailing every single path that we took to arrive at. There are no answers, because, you know, boy, this story should be taught in journalism schools and PR and marketing schools as like, hey, don't do it like this. This is not how you message.
That's true.
Yeah. Why has no one else been charged? I mean, that's the ultimate.
I think people are trying to say, well, if you don't, you know, if you're all about getting the client list, then you're not trusting of the Trump administration. And I don't think that that's accurate. I trust the Trump administration, but you're teasing it. It's like a dangling carrot. We want to know the answer now.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's important, especially when you're involved in conservative media, to call out your side when they do something that doesn't seem right.
Yes.
Or where that could have been done better.
Yeah.
Like, you know, but at the same time, I understand it from Trump's perspective. Like, he's the enemy of the media on the other side all the time. And so he definitely fights back when there is pushback from the conservative side. But I think it sort of validates what we're doing, and it almost enhances when he does something right. Like, we're not just saying it because he did it. We're touting it because he did something right, because it objectively is the right move. And I think you sort of get your own credibility built up when you also call out the conservative side when they do something that you disagree with.
Yep. Well, they're certainly hearing about it this time for sure. Todd Pyro, thank you, my friend. Sorry you were not the winner of the little
Big
Town
Town
tickets today.
Try again tomorrow, Todd. We have it all week.
You know what? It's going to happen eventually. I'm going to get to that little Big Town.
All right. We'll see you, buddy. Thanks.
Have a good one.
You bet. Todd Pyro there live up in New York this morning. Good to get him on. Coming up, we're going to talk about some changes in the Big Beautiful Bill to how you can buy a suppressor for your firearm, but not yet. We'll be right back.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
If you ban them in the future, the bullets will have been shot and there won't be any more available.
So you don't shoot deer with a bullet that size? If you do, you could cook it at the same time.
Put that double barrel shotgun and fire two blasts outside the house.
That is without a doubt the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
This is 2A Tuesday, brought to you by the Range St. Louis West.
So let's talk Big Beautiful Bill for just a minute. And, of course, there were lots of things in there. It was hundreds and hundreds of pages long. One of the things that it is going to do, we talked to Eric Burleson, the congressman, about this. He pushed hard when it was in the House to remove some things from the National Firearms Act. He wanted restrictions on short-barreled rifles removed. I think that was added in the Senate. And he also wanted to remove that $200 tax stamp. Ideally, we would have had any regulation on suppressors removed. They didn't go that far, but they did drop the $200 tax stamp, and I think now there's going to be a lawsuit over that even remaining in there that you have to get a background. So why would you need a background check to get a suppressor? It really seems kind of silly, but that part of it's still in there. In the meantime, long and short of it is, if you don't have a suppressor, now may be the time to start looking for one. I've got Dan Green with me this morning from the Range St. Louis West. And Dan, welcome into the show. How are you?
Good. Good morning.
Good morning to you. You know, I was just in there Saturday at the range, and you guys have got quite the selection of suppressors, because I don't own one currently, but I am thinking about getting one for a .22 rifle that I have. And the options are broad, aren't they?
Absolutely. We have multiple .22 cans right now from as little as $150. So those are flying off the walls. You get a great deal for that price, and you get to save your hearing and shoot some stuff.
Well, you know, I've heard it said that they obviously there's one of the benefits is you don't have to worry about the sound as much anymore. It's not silent. That's kind of a misnomer, but it certainly muffles it to the point that you can safely shoot without, you know, the big hearing aids, the big cans on your head, right?
Right. Absolutely. Especially if you're outdoors, that sound dissipates. And a lot of times you don't need to even have hearing protection on, which is pretty nice. You can talk to your friends around you and not have to worry about loud bangs going off all the time.
Yeah. Well, I know that one of the things, I mean, I obviously brag about what they do at the range all the time, but the classes are second to none. And I know that you guys run a class called Silent Night.
Right. So on Wednesday, August 13th, we'll have our next Silent Night event. Basically, we bring in one of our NFA lawyers. He kind of goes over the history of the NFA and then kind of go over just a few different cans, but then take everybody downstairs, and we've got a suppressor on everything down in the shooting bays, and get to go down and just kind of hear exactly what we're talking about. Yeah,
right.
It's not going to be completely quiet, but I mean, it gets to the point where it's definitely pleasurable to be around.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're not going to go into the whole history of why a suppressor ended up on the National Firearms Act to begin with. It all seems kind of silly in hindsight. But I was talking to somebody yesterday who pointed out to me that when this tax stamp cost was put into effect, it was in, what, the 1930s when the Firearms Act passed, and right, it was $200. Any idea what that would be today with inflation?
It would be a number of thousand for sure.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you exactly.
I think it would be in the $20,000 range if you were to institute it today. Clearly what they were trying to do was prevent people from getting suppressors.
Exactly.
And my only thought on that is it must be because of this belief that only assassins use suppressors, therefore nobody should need one, because we see all the James Bond movies and all that stuff, and you see people running around and you hear the and you don't hear a gunshot, and it's just really not how it works.
Yeah, not quite. But so we are going to have a suppressor drawing, if you will. Go to therangestl.com/971, and you can enter to win up to $300 off a suppressor, and we'll pay for that $200 tax stamp, which that technically doesn't go into effect until it looks like January 1st.
Right. Yeah, it's going to be a while before you technically don't have to pay the fee anymore. So the range is now offering to do this. And you know, I think they've even had deals before where occasionally, and maybe there's another one of those coming up before the 1st of January, where these manufacturers are coming in and offering to pick up the cost of that. Let's hope that happens again at some point. But people can go. This is just for listeners to my show, by the way, and for people that have followed me on social media. They can go to therangestl.com/971. If you just go to the Range website, you're not going to find this. This is special for my listeners. So get on there, enter your name. They're going to pick a winner on August 15th, and they will get $300 toward the cost of a silencer or a suppressor, and they're going to get the tax stamp paid for. So it's a $500 value, and that's fantastic. Dan Green with the Range, we appreciate your time. Thank you.
Hey, absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Yep. You have a great morning, and I will see you out there, I'm sure, at the range very soon. Yeah, I went out there. Kim, have you ever fired a gun with a suppressor on it before?
I have. It does make a big difference.
It improves accuracy, too, apparently. The technology is pretty amazing.
Why would it improve?
It just baffles it.
Why would it improve accuracy?
Well, I mean, among other things, most people who shoot silencers, and I'm generalizing here, do it with a handgun. So it just extends the barrel. So the longer that the bullet is in the rifling of a barrel, the greater accuracy you have.
Hmm.
The longer the barrel of a gun oftentimes relates to more accuracy.
I have not done it in a long time. In fact, you know what? I think I may have shot with a suppressor when I was doing, was it maybe a, I can't remember if I just went shooting like at a range or if it was for a news story that I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was a story about suppressors. Wait, I mean, this was years and years ago when I was a reporter in either Des Moines or Nashville.
Well, people can find out more. You just go to the range and sign up, and you can get take that silent night. You can get the silent night training out there. Kim's pretty funny on here. She goes, "You need a suppressor during the zombie apocalypse if that happens."
it could happen nowadays.
Or if you just want to take squirrels out in your backyard and you don't want
to
scare the neighbors.
Don't even get me started with these stupid squirrels. They're cute, but they are awful.
Squirrels, rabbits, deer eating our hostas and our tomatoes.
I'd rather them eat that. I'd rather a rabbit eat the... I get that it's annoying if they're eating your tomatoes and your hostas, whatever. But the stupid squirrels chew at our brand new siding. They chewed up our brand new patio furniture. And they don't like, I think it's like lavender or something. It's one of the essential oils that you can go and you can get it in a spray form. And we've been spraying it. But those, you can just sense the anger in my voice.
I can.
I would love to shoot one
poor
of those squirrels, but I don't
want to so cute.
Shoot you our neighbor, hurt? Our neighbor's house on accident because we have a fence. So it's like if you miss, you're shooting the window out of your neighbor's house.
The tree rats, yeah, you need.
Oh, they're tree rats for sure.
You need a couple of those live traps out there and catch those little boogers.
Or just shoot
and then take
crap
them down
them.
The street and drop them off in a park somewhere, something. All right, coming up, we're going to get to Kim on a whim. What are we talking about today?
Well,
squirrels?
I would love to talk about squirrels, but no, your ice cream might start looking a little bit or maybe a lot different in the next couple of years. I'm going to explain why in about, what time we come back here? 5 minutes or so?
Kim on a whim.
Brooke and I have often talked about the fact that we can't make Maha succeed without the partnership of the American farmer. And our job is to help them to open the doors, to make sure that they have adequate resources in their supply chains, and that the approvals for new chemical-free dyes are happening very quickly.
Of course, RFK Jr. needs cooperation from more than just the farmers. It's a lot of these big companies, and what's so incredible is that just in a matter of months since he's been leading HHS, these companies are voluntarily coming out and saying, yep, we'll go ahead and remove these artificial dyes.
Why didn't you do it before?
Exactly. When so many other countries have been doing this for years, they don't even allow it. That's like when you go to Aldi. I forget which country owns Aldi. Like, they're based out of... Do you know? What is it?
Is it Germany? Or Belgium?
Sure. Like I don't think it's Belgium. I studied abroad in Belgium. Fun fact. Anyway, doesn't matter. It's not from the United States. Like, none of their stuff apparently has dye in it, which is one of the reasons I do like shopping there. And it's just affordable. But now dozens of U.S. ice cream producers are saying that they're going to remove artificial colors from their products by 2028. So it says the producers, which together represent more than 90% of ice cream sold in the United States, are the latest food companies to remove these dyes. But keep in mind, just in the last, 2 weeks or so, General Mills, Kraft, Smucker's, Hershey, and Nestle have all come out and said the same thing.
So what color is it going to be? Like, what does that mean?
Well, it'll have color. It's just going to be duller. Like your Fruit Loops
like your are vanilla
going to, I'm
will
sorry.
Be a little less white. I mean,
how do you make something less white?
I don't know.
Like, the Fruit Loops that you see in Europe, they have color, but they're using natural stuff to color them. They're not putting in, Red 3 or Red 40, which, by the way, it says the 40 ice cream companies will remove Red 3. Listen to all this junk that's in your ice cream that you're eating. Red 3, Red 40, Green 3, Blue 1, Blue 2, Yellow 5, and Yellow 6.
So if it's got a number after it, they're not adding it anymore?
I guess so.
Huh. I think we should pass a rule that says RFK has to say Maha Maha every time he says it, so because it makes me think of Mahi Mahi, which I love to eat.
Do you know what it makes me think of? And I know this, this tells you my age, me being a millennial, but there was this show called The Amanda Show with Amanda Bynes. You know Amanda Bynes, by the way? Have you seen where she's gone?
No.
I know you don't follow her, probably.
I know the name.
But she, poor girl, like, beautiful. And I don't know what happened, if it's just like mental illness. I know she had an issue with drugs, but if you Google Amanda Bynes then and now, you will not, like, it's going to take you 30 seconds to convince yourself
it's
that it's the same
difference.
Person. You do not even recognize her.
Wow.
But anyway, as part of the Amanda Show, she used to say, like, Maha. Anyway, beside the point, but if you're talking about what it reminds you of, that's what it reminds me of. I think it's great what he's doing. I'm just so excited to see what can come of this in the next 3 years. But I'm also thinking about, oh my gosh, if a conservative doesn't, if it's not J.D. Vance in 4 years or Marco Rubio or another conservative and some crazy liberal like Gavin Newsom, which I don't think will happen. Let's just for
if
argument's
they take
sake.
Over again.
Yeah, well, yeah. If somehow someone wins and they take over, is this stuff just going to go right back in? Because I know part of the problem of why these companies don't want to do this is that they say it's expensive. The natural food that they use to dye stuff is, it's just not as cost effective as just pumping in chemicals that are apparently increasing rates and ADHD and all these other health issues that we're seeing across the United States.
So, in other words, like the new inflation numbers are out this morning. They're slightly higher. We're going to talk about that at the top of the hour with Jerry Willis from Fox Business. But if the price of ice cream goes up, they're going to blame Trump and RFK for this. You know that, right?
Oh, I'm sure. And you know what?
It's going to cost us a little more because we had to use real ingredients.
Then what happens if cancer rates and all these other diagnoses start going down? Then what do they say?
But that's
a
lagging indicator, right? You won't see that for years.
Right. Well, maybe that's part of the problem.
Right.
Here's what's irritating. The International Dairy Foods Association has come out and said artificial dyes are safe. Baloney. The ice cream makers say that they're taking the step in part to avoid disruption to sales. So that's really what this is about. They're not sitting here saying, okay, we acknowledge that this isn't great for people's health. They're sitting here saying, well, we know people care about this and that they might not buy our product if it has dye in it, so we might as well phase it out now.
So what did you say there, that the National Institute for Dyes say that dyes
no,
are safe?
No, wait, the National Institute for Dyes?
The National Institute of Food Coloring says fake food colors are safe.
Really, really close. No, more like the International Dairy Foods Association.
Oh, okay.
I like the National Institute for Dyes. We should start that.
We should.
Natural dyes.
Exactly.
They use
all
like
natural.
Beets and stuff to.
What about that stuff people put on their hair? It's got all those fake chemicals.
Food
are
dye?
They gonna clear that up too?
We use beets now to
thank you
to color our hair. If I'm that's blonde and I get blonde highlights, what food do they use?
I have
to
a
color
feeling that's where most women will draw the line. Take it out of the food if you want. Do not take it out of that stuff like we're putting on our hair.
It's like COVID. Remember, everyone had to.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Hey there, it's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Comedy Podcast. Tune into our show and join me in making some regrettable decisions. It's available wherever you listen to podcasts.